We're holding on page 50 in Sota, a few lines, about five lines into Os Nunhe. We started talking about that Simloy was talking about why Moshe wanted so desperately to go into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't just Lechem Kuriyah versus Boya Mitzvah. We said he wants to be able that the mitzvahs that are being done in Eretz Yisrael should be accomplished through me, which, as we talked about yesterday, can mean. As we talked about yesterday, that can mean that he himself wants to accomplish them. Beguf, it can mean that he wants that he'll be able to, with his doing of them, he'll be able to bring the Jewish people's fulfillment of them to a much higher level, and so on and so forth. And then he said, Hashem told him that don't you worry, you're doing it only for schar, so instead I'll consider it as if you did them. We talked about yesterday what kind of schar is Moshe looking for. It can mean just the schar that he wants to put himself in the situation to do these mitzvahs, which itself is something good, and a person is entitled to schar for that. It can mean the schar that his schus will stand up for the Jewish people in the future. It can be that his schar will be schar mitzvah mitzvah, and so on and so forth. So continues the Gemara with a drasha on this about the reward that Moshe receives for the mitzvahs, not only that he did, but the mitzvahs that he wanted to do, and that Hashem tells him that he can't do because he's not, in fact, going to go into Eretz Yisrael in person. So Shenema, the pasuk says. Pasuk says in Yeshaya, this is part of the famous Yeshaya Peret Nun Gimel that the Clippers are always using to try to claim that it refers to their guy. Before Shimon Pesukim explained that it refers to the Jewish people collectively. The Zohar says it refers to Mashiach. Here the Gemara is going to darshan a pasuk of it about Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a different place where Chazal darshan the same pasuk about Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, the pasuk describes Lachen Achalak Loi Barabim. Therefore, says Hashem, I will give him a portion among the many that. And together with the mighty ones, he'll divide the spoils. Because he exposed his soul, he exposed his life to death. And he was counted among the sinners. He had borne the sins of the many. And he davened on behalf of the Poshim, the deliberate rebellious sinners. So now the Gemara is going to explain, phrase by phrase, how this whole pasuk refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lachena Chalak LeBarabim, we start out, Hashem says, I will give him a portion, Barabim, among the many, and Marsha says it means because of the many who came, the many Jewish people who came into Eretz Yisrael, and his schus. And after all, they wouldn't have if he hadn't davened for them again and again. They would have been destroyed after the Chet Ego and after the Chet Meraglim, and so on and so forth. So for that alone, he gets a portion. Hashem says, I'm going to give him his complete reward that he deserves for having brought the Jewish people this far. So you're going to say, okay, so it means that Moshe will get a reward equal to the later generations, equal to any person from among the Jews who entered Eretz Yisrael. So they now have the ability to do the mitzvahs of Tluris Baretz. So fine, maybe the pasuk is only implying that he's going to get a reward equal to them. But no more than that. H.C. Yosef also points out one meaning of it is, for example, it can mean even though we say Ko Yisrael Reihim Zalazeh, still to a certain extent each person gets an individual reward for his mitzvahs. So maybe it means Moshe will be getting only the reward of an individual person. Maybe not like the earlier generations of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov who got a much greater reward. No, Tamad Leimavas, that's Tzumim Michalik Shalal. Therefore, the pasuk continues that with the mighty ones, he'll divide the spoils. That means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Shoyat Tzumim, Betorah, and Mitzvahs. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were mighty in Torah and Mitzvahs, and Moshe will get a schar like them. Where there, Marsha points out, by each one of them, we find explicitly where Hashem promises them a reward. And we see they were mighty in Torah and Mitzvahs. They kept the whole Torah before it was given, but they actually were not able to mimikayim in real life also. They were just like Moshe is not able to mimikayim the Mitzvahs of Tluris Baretz, neither were they, because many of these things didn't apply yet. And nevertheless, they get a great schar the same way. Hashem is telling the same way. The Pasuk is saying that Hashem is telling Moshe, and later on the Navi is telling us for future generations that we should know that Moshe received just as great a schar as if he had done them. And his schar is equal to that of the office. Ion Yaakov discusses over here also, since he explains that the schar Moshe was looking for is that his schus should stand up for the Jewish people for all time, so Hashem tells him, yes, that will indeed be the case. The same way as the schus of the office lasts forever, the same way the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu will last forever. So therefore, so that's Suma Michalik Sholol. Marshal also adds the word Sholol, you know, spoils, like are, you know, in war. You capture something, you didn't even work hard for it, and all of a sudden it falls into your lap. The same way, Moshe is like having this great reward that comes to him, even though he didn't actually put in the effort to do the mitzvahs, because Hashem is telling him, I'm going to consider it for you as if you did them. Okay, the pasuk continues, Tachas HaShehera L'mavis Nafshei. This is in reward for the fact that he exposed his soul to death. That means Shemosa Atzma V'Misa, as we find several times where Moshe was willing to be Moshe Nefesh to and then to die. Shenemar, for example, after the Chet Ego, Va'ata in Tisa Chatosam. Now he tells Hashem, if you forgive their Aveda, then good. V'imayin, and if not, Mecheni Namisifra Chasha Kasavta. Erase me from the book that you wrote. Now what book? We mean the Sefer Achayim. Rashi mentions on the pasuk, the Pasha chapter, we have the famous explanation. That means it'll erase me from the Torah, and that's why his name is missing from Parshas Tetzaveh. But in the Pasha chat, it means that he's saying you have a Sefer Achayim, the book of who's going to live, and then erase me from that book, and I won't live anymore. So we see that Moshe is ready to die on behalf of the Jewish people. So that's Asher Ha'olam Avos Nafshei. So the pasuk continues, Ves Poshim Nimna, and he's counted together with the sinners, with the rebellious sinners. Even Poshim is rebellious sinners. Means Shenimne and Mesa Midbar. Exactly that Moshe is enumerated together with those who died in the desert. So, like we said, you know, why was he buried opposite Baal Peoris in Mechaper for that Avera? In general, there's the famous Medrash that says that Moshe is buried in Chutzlaritz in order to be able to bring the whole, in order to bring it buried in the Midbar with all the 600,000 who passed away there during the 40 years, so that in these, when Mashiach comes, he will be the one to lead them to Eretz Yisrael. So that's Poshim Nimna, he's counted together with them, and he's there in the desert together with them, in order to be mezaka them in the future. So, when the pasuk continues that he bore the sins of the many, that means Shekipra Maisa Egel, that he was able to daven to Hashem at him mechaper for the Maisa Egel, and like he took it on himself, so to speak. But like Poshim Nosa is also Meloshin Nesias Oven, like Nosa Oven Rafasha, that he caused Chet Rabim Nosa, that Hashem forgave the sin of the many, meaning the Chet Egel. The La Poshim Yafgia, and when the pasuk continues, he daven on behalf of the Poshim, which the Gemara is going to explain in a second. The word Yafgia means to daven on behalf of the Poshim, on behalf of the deliberate rebellious sinners. That means exactly that. Shabikash Rachmim Al Poshim Yisrael Shiyatsu B'Tshuva. He davened for Rachmanus, for the Poshim, for the wicked ones of the Jewish people, that they should do Tshuva. Meaning, Marshal says this goes beyond what we said before. We already said that he asked Hashem to forgive them, and so to speak, like he almost threatened Hashem, if you don't, then erase me from your book. But now he's saying that they shouldn't be Poshim anymore. That he's asking not only that, make it that they should do tshuva and not again be poshim. I'll tell you, like you have the story with Remeir and Bruya, Yutamu Chatoyim v'loi Choytim, let the sins go away rather than the sinners. Marsha mentions in this connection the pasuk after Matan Torah, where Hashem says, Mi yitin v'hoya levavim zeh lahem kol hayom, if only they had the same mentality and the same heart forever that they had by Matan Torah, where they're completely connected with Hashem. It's a bottom on the side over here brings up a point that on the face of it, first of all, that's Hashem saying it, not Moshe. So how are we saying that Moshe is davening for it? But, okay, the point is, in other words, that Moshe really wanted, it shouldn't just be that now the Jewish people did Aveira. Hashem, please forgive them, but Hashem, please make it in the future that they shouldn't sin anymore. So he's davening on behalf of that they should do tshuva and that they shouldn't sin anymore. So that's the Vaporshim Yafia. Interestingly, by the way, to give you an idea of the different viewpoints between, let's say, you have the Arch Scroll Gemara and Ein Yaakov or whatever versus the way we think of it, they bring in both places. They bring a footnote with various sources about the fact that there's an Indian to daven for people who've done Averis that you should daven that they do tshuva. By us, do we even need sources for that? It's something that had been inculcated into us for 50 years, and before that, the Rebbeim before him, it's a Muskel Rishon by us. Anyway, but that's how it is. So Shanem, the Ein Pgia Ela Tfila, and the Gemara continues, how do we know that when he says, Vela Poshim Yafgia, means he davened on their behalf, the word Pgia means davening. Shanem, as Hashem tells Yirmiyah, in his times when the people are Rishoyim, and Hashem tells them, don't daven on behalf of this people, don't lift up a shout or a cry of tefillah or tefillah, and don't tifka in me, because Hashem says basically they have to do tshuva, it can't just rely on you, the Navi, to daven on their behalf. So we see that the word tifka means to daven. You have other examples as well, by Yifga Bamokim, for example, by Yaakov. So we see, therefore, by La Poshim Yafgia means he davened on behalf of the Poshim. Okay. Hoya Mevi Perek Sheni. So now we're getting back to the actual topic of the ritual of the Sota, after this long digression about Mida Keneged Mida and all the things that branched out from that. So the Mishnah describes how Yomevias Minchasa Besech Kfifa Mitzvahs, he would bring the Sota, we know has to bring a Korban Mincha, made out of barley flour, as we're going to talk about soon, why Dafka that. So he would bring it in a Kfifa Mitzvahs, in a basket made out of a type of fiber that grows around palm trees. So those things are called sode deco, and therefore a basket made out of them is called mitzvahs. The idea is, in other words, now before we also had there was a chevel mitzvah, there was a mitzvah rope that they used to tie around for torn clothing. There was the point also. It's made out of the same material, out of these palm fibers. Although there was the additional point also that it's mitzvahs to evoke the ways of the mitzvahim who were very immoral. So here I don't think anybody says that particular idea, but in other words, the point is you want the korban itself, as the Gemara is going to say, is a low quality kind of korban, and the same way the basket she brings it in has to be a very cheap, low-quality kind of basket. The nosal yodeha, and the kohen puts the basket with the mincha on her hands, kedei liyagov chola, in order to tire her out. She has to hold it for quite some time there. In the previous parak, it talks about other things they would do to tire her out. They would walk her around from one place to another. The idea is, in other words, that, as the Gemara is going to say, in order that she should say, fine, you know what, I give in, I admit. Tosfos actually brings up a point. It's not printed here in the Ein Yaakov, but in the Gemara, Tosfos points out that not necessarily is the order that the Mishnah is describing things here is not necessarily the actual order in which things took place. There are different opinions about how exactly whether the mincha is offered first or whether the meisota are given her to drink first, for example. So there's that consideration. When the Mishnah is saying over here that he had her hold on to the mincha, is not necessarily would it be that at that point he's having her hold it. In any case, you have to realize the mincha consisted of an isorin of flour, which is the same as a shiur challah, somewhere between 3 and 5 pounds, depending which post you ask. So after a while of holding it in her hands, it would tend to tire her out, and then if she's guilty, then she might just confess. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Abachanin Oimim Meshum Rebbe Eliezer, V'chokach Loma, why are we having her hold it the whole time? Just that, Kedei Liyago, in order to tire her out, Kedei Shetachzer Ba. So she may change her mind and decide, you know what, I'm not going to brazen it through, fine. And by the way, until we talked about this before, until the name of Hashem is erased, until the scroll is dissolved until the ink on the scroll is dissolved into the water, she has three options in front of her. She can say, I'm going ahead with it. She can say, I'm Tomei, and then everything stops right there, and her husband has to divorce her, and there's no Meisota. Or she can say, I don't want to drink it, without even giving a reason. She doesn't have to actually blatantly say, I was, in fact, Mazana, but just saying, I don't want to drink is enough to stop the whole thing. And again, she forfeits her Ksuba, and she has to get divorced. Once the name of Hashem is erased, then that option of Eini Shoseh is gone, then the options are either to see it through or to say that she's Tomei. In any case, the point is that now, at this point, you're hoping that she's going to change her mind and say, you know what, I know I'm guilty, I'm taka afraid, I may end up suffering the fate of the Sota, therefore fine, I'll confess, and the fact that you're lowering her defenses by tiring her out by holding the mincha. So if the Torah has such regard for the life of someone who is over on what Hashem wanted, because here we're talking about that she's guilty, she's not bepatria, she's not going to confess and lose her marriage and her ksuba and so forth if she really is innocent. When would she confess? Only if she taka is guilty. So therefore, nevertheless, Hashem is so concerned for her life that we're putting in this extra step of making her hold the mincha the whole time to tire her out. How much more so that Hashem has regard for the lives of people who do what Hashem wants. Okay. Further on, the Gemara talks about, after it mentions that, now you have like this, every kind of mincha that the Gemara describes, all kinds of menachas are always made from soilus, which is the best quality of, with the best grade of wheat flour, and most korbanos mincha also have flour and lavona with them, with the exception of, you have the mincha sota and the mincha of the omer are made of barley flour instead of wheat flour. Although there's a difference even between those themselves, because the Omer is made out of Geres, which is the best quality of barley flour, whereas the Sotas Mincha is made out of Kemach, which is a cheaper quality of flour. And second of all, the Omer has Shemen and Lavona, and the Mincha of the Sota does not. And then the Gemara mentions also you have a Mincha Sechoite, You have the mincha of a person who has to bring a korban olav yored, which is the subject these days in Daf Yomi in Masechta Shavuos. You have a number of things the Torah describes in Parshas VaYikra where a person does it, then he's chayav a korban olav yored. One of them he makes a false shavua. He goes into the Beis Mikdash not knowing that he was tamei, and a couple of other examples. Anyway. So there, it's made out of wheat flour, but there's also no shemen or levaina. So the Gemara discusses the reasons behind all these dinim. So Tanya, we learn in a brisa, Amar Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon is famous for this throughout Shas. Reb Shimon is always Dorish Taima Dikra. Reb Shimon always tries to look for the reason behind the mitzvah, and sometimes even we'll find there are places in Shas where Reb Shimon uses that to explain the parameters of the mitzvah. Classic example is in Bava Metzia. You have like this. The Torah tells us the din, v'leisachvel beged almona. You're not allowed to take as a mashkin the clothing of a widow. Now, the Chachamim say that applies across the board. Doesn't matter if she's poor or rich, you're not allowed to take it. Reb Shimon is Dorish Taima Dekra. Reb Shimon says, let's consider. Why would the Torah make a difference between a widow and anybody else? The reason would be because we know the Torah tells us in Mishpatim and in Kiseitse that if the person is poor, you have to return them the mashkin every day if it's something they use during the day, and every night if it's something they use by night. Well, then if it's an almana, and she's going to need this clothing every day, so every day you're going to have to go to her house to bring it. After a while, tongues are going to start wagging once this guy going and visiting this almana every day for, and it's going to cause a shame and after her among her neighbors. So therefore, the Torah outlaws that. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, that wouldn't apply if she's rich. If she's rich, she has plenty of dresses. If she has plenty of dresses, you don't have to go return this one to her every day. So we see that Reb Shimon is not only Dorish Taima Dekra, but he actually uses it to explain when the mitzvah applies, when it doesn't. So here is an example. Here it doesn't have a nafkamina la'alacha, but Reb Shimon is following his usual style of finding a reason for the mitzvah. So Reb Shimon says, Bittin hu shetech minchas choyte to una shemen levoina. By right, the mincha of a choyte, this case of the korban olav yored, for tumas mikdash v'kodshav, or shvuas sheker, or a couple of other things, you would think it should require oil and levoina on the korban. Shalo yehi choyte nisker. After all, it's not right that the sinner should gain by it. Why should, like this, as it is, the korban olav yored is variable, it's called olav yored, because it varies depending on what he can afford. An animal, a sheep, or a female sheep, or goat, if he can afford that. Two birds, if he's poorer than that. A mincha of flour, if he's even poorer than that, but at least it shouldn't be that he gets away even without the shemen and levona, and it's so cheap. Shaloyei choytenisku, you don't want it to gain. So why does that mincha not require oil on levona? Shaloyei korban and mahordir, because we don't want his korban to be beautiful. Now, to have shemen and levona, and it would make it more beautiful, and like this is being brought for an avera, and Hashem doesn't want that beauty to be on it. Okay? Over din hu shetei chatas chelev to unen esochim. Now here's another point. You bring an oiler or a shlomim, or certain other kinds of korbanos, you bring with them nesochim, you bring with them the Torah list in Parshas Shlach, and we have by the korbanos Musaf in Parshas Pinchas, you have X amount of flour, and X amount of oil, and X amount of wine, shloish esrin al poro, shnei esrin al oil, v'yisorin lakeves, etc., and the various amounts that it says there. You don't bring those together with a chatas or an osham. So why not? So Reb Shimon says, "Uvedinu shetei chatas chaylev to un nesachim." By rights, by the same token, a chatas that a person brings for eating chaylev or any of the other cases where a person has to bring a regular chatas as opposed to a korban olav yored, a regular chatas is always a female sheep or a female goat, except for a king where it's a male sheep or goat, where it's a male goat specifically by the king. Anyway. So you would think that should require nesachim again, shaloi yehi choyte nister, because the sinner shouldn't gain. Why should he gain that he doesn't have to bring nesachim together with his korban? Rashi points out that the reason why he taught chatas chaylev, now you have altogether, there are 36 things in the Torah for which a person can be chayav kores, and 34 of them are loisa, says, and any of those, almost any of those, if a person does them b'shoigig, then he brings a chatas. So chaylev is only one example. Rashi explains because the Torah tells us not to eat chaylev, kol chaylev v'chol dom lo yiseh chaylev, and right after that it tells the parasha of the chatas. So therefore we call it chatas chaylev. Another point that Mefor should make is because chaylev is a very common thing that a person would end up bringing a chatas for. The other things, arayas, avodazora, shabbos, various other things are much less common for a person to do, so therefore it's much less common that he'd be bringing a chatas for them in the first place. As opposed to chaylev, it's easy enough, you try brewing an animal and you leave behind some chaylev and you end up eating it. Anyway. So by rights, it should require Nesachim. Why should he gain the price of the Nesachim? So why doesn't it require? And the fact is it doesn't, because the Pasuk says that you bring Nesachim only when you bring a korban, so only when a korban is brought voluntarily, so not a chatas or an asham. The reason is, same thing, we don't want his korban to be so beautiful. However, you do have one exception to that. When a mitzvah is finished with his sarah, is healed from his saras, and he's gone through the various stages up until that point, he brings the korban, he brings a couple of korbanas, including a chatas and an osham, and there he does bring nesachim with them. The reason is, because it doesn't come, because of an avera, that chatas and osham is meant to complete his kapara, so now he'll be able to enter the bais mikdash and he'll be able to eat kodshim. So the Mishnah in Shkolim, in fact, mentions that in the Beis Mikdash, it seems at some point the Chachamim decided, the Beis Din in charge of running things in the Beis Mikdash decided, we can't have just everybody bringing their own individual Nesachim. Not everybody is careful about Tum of Atara, for example, and other considerations. So they set up a system that it describes in the Sefer Shkolim. They had an office in the Beis Mikdash that would sell the wine, flour, and oil for the Nesachim. So you would go, there were two offices involved over there. You would go to one office run by a person named Yochanan, and you would buy from him a stamped thing, a voucher that says that you're entitled to Nesachim for such and such a code. You'd pay him and you'd get a voucher for this type of Nesachim. Then you'd go to the other office that was run by a guy named Achia, and he would measure out the amounts for the Nesachim for you. So that way you could make sure it was all made al Taras HaKodesh. So the Mishnah describes over there, they had four such stamps. Three of them were for an ola or shlomim, one for a cow, one for a bull or cow, which have the nesachim shlosh esternim lapar, one for a ram, shnei esternim la'oil, one for a sheep, v'sodom la'keves, and then he had one for a chote, which meant a mitzvah, where you had the special thing where he's bringing three korbanos and he needs nesachim for all of them. So we see that his korbanos, even though they include a chatas and an osham, we need nesachim. The fundamental reason the Gemara says because it doesn't come from a chet. So the Gemara asks, what do we mean? The tzaras comes from a chet in the first place, and the answer is basically the chet was already niskaper by his tzaras itself, the yisurim of tzaras. So he cleaned up the avera of lashon hara or stinginess or a false shvur or whatever the Gemara mentions in Erech and a bunch of things for which a person could get tzaras. Now the korban is basically just meant for him to be able to come into the bais mikdash and eat korbanos. And therefore, even though it's a chatos, it can still have nesachim. Then the Gemara mentions, on the other hand, you have the point, the chatos and oshem of a nozir, of a nozir tome, don't require nesachim. Why not? Or isn't it the same kind of thing? And the answer is because Rabbi Lozer Akapar actually holds that a nozir, as we've learned a number of times, that in and of itself, a person becoming a nozir is considered a sinful thing to do, because better he should control his taivus without having to take on a neder of nezirus. So therefore, we can call him a choita, and therefore, again, the Torah therefore doesn't want nesachim for his carbon. Piskus, according from the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, why is it then that the Sota's korban is made out of barley flour? So Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Kashem Shemaseh, Maisa Behema, she acted like an animal being Mizana with somebody who's not her husband. Animals, for the most part, are not faithful to their mates. Kach korban, Maisa Behema, the same way her korban is animal food. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omelahem Ramlila Chachamim. He says, Sofrim, Chachamim. Sofrim is a nickname for the Divine Chachamim. Among others, show you Sofrim, Colossius, Shabbat Torah. They count all the letters in the Torah. They would write down for themselves private notes of things they learned in Torah Shabbat Peh. Anyway, so he tells them, Sofrim, he says, Chachamim, Anifuli, leave me, give me a chance, the Edreshenok min Choymer. And I will explain why a Sota brings barley flour. I will explain that like a Choymer. What is a choymer? So Rashi explains that a choymer is a little piece of jewelry, a button-shaped thing made out of gold. Rashi describes that a woman would use it, for example, to close up the neckline of her blouse. In other places, it seems that a choymer would also be sometimes they would put perfume inside it. Tosfos brings a couple of other explanations. One is that it means, so one is indeed that it means spices, that it means that it means fragrances or perfume or something like that. That the word choymer would be related to the word chumar to the pilon, which means a little container containing pilon or filon, which is a type of perfume. Another explanation Tosfos brings from Reb Sadia Gaon, the Aruch brings it at greater length, is Reb Sadia says that in Aramaic and in Arabic, the word choymer, or word related to that, means doings. Like, for example, he says a person in Arabic, for example, which they spoke in Reb Sadia Gaon's times already, he says one person would say to the other, machamrach, which means, what are you doing? So we see the word choymer means doing. So therefore, Rav Gamliel is saying, I'm going to darshan this, why she brings a korban, a barley flower, in a way that's appropriate to what she did. Now, why does Rav Gamliel have to say that? So the Gemara explains, the Shamei let Rav Meir to Kamar. Now, Rav Gamliel had previously heard Rav Meir giving an explanation, which was in the previous parak. When he had the whole list of midah keneged midah things by a sota, which was a letter into that whole discussion, midah keneged midah, so Rav Meir had given one example. He had chilatu, he called ma'adane olam. She had fed the guy that she's having an affair with all the delicacies of the world, l'ficha korbana ma'icha behema, and therefore now she brings a korban out of animal food. So omalei, so Rav Gamliel says, I don't know about that. Hotena hashira, that works if she's a rich woman and she can afford delicacies. Ania ma'icha behema, and if a poor woman is mizane, then what are you going to say? Where's the midah? Ella, rather, I'd prefer to explain to min choymer, it works out much better to say to shem shemaseh ma'ase behema kach korbana ma'icha behema. So that's the background for the explanation that he gives in the Mishnah, and that's why you have to say hanichu li, leave me be. I know you heard Reb Meir's explanation, but I want to tell you I have a much better explanation. Then Yoda deals with the question why he has to say hanichu li, and he explains basically because the same way as he's slugging up Reb Meir's explanation, they could have found a way to slug his up as well. So he's saying, give me a break and please don't try to slug me up. We have in my Maariv Chassidus, it talks about the connection between it and the Minchas HaOmer, we start on Pesach, we bring a Minchas HaOmer out of barley, and then we go to Shavuos, where we bring a Shtei Alechem made out of wheat, because the idea is that also during Sfiras HaOmer, we're graduating from the state of, like, being a behema, by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and reaching the stage of an Adam by Shavuos. And then, therefore, we go through that metamorphosis, or we're supposed to anyway, during Sfiras HaOmer, and therefore we have that change from barley to wheat. So here there's also the same idea. In other words, she was acting like a behemoth. She now brings a korban of behemoth food, and then hopefully she comes out of it innocent, and she didn't in fact do that, and then the nix of an Israel Zara, as it talks about later. The Gemara goes on to deal with the Mishnah, and the Gemara go on to deal with the details of how the Kohen prepares the Meisota. Now, one of the ingredients of the Meisota is that the Kohen has to take dirt from the floor of the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan itself, it was easy enough. It was on the desert sands over there in the Beis Mikdash. The Mishnah describes there was a tile in the floor of the Heichal that you could lift up and get to the dirt underneath. So he takes some of that dirt and put it into the water that he had filled up from the kiyor. So the Gemara brings Tananabon and Shloshet Srichin Shiyero. There are three things that you're putting into that. There are three things that have to be visible. Afar Soita, the dust for the Soita. There has to be, the question is, how much dust do you need? And the answer is enough to be visible on the surface of the water. So you can't just take like one grain of dust, but you also doesn't have to take like enough to make it into mud or something. Just enough that it'll be visible on the surface. So that's that. The Afer Parah, the same thing, the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Now, with the Parah Aduma, actually, the Pasuk phrases it. Now, with the Afar Sota, it says quite clearly in the Pasuk, Yikach HaKoyin V'Nosen Al-Moyim, he should take it and put it into the water, implying that first he fills up the container with water, and then he puts in the dirt. With the Afer Parah, it sounds in the Pasuk like the other way around. It says that he takes from the ashes of the Parah Aduma, V'Nosen Olav Mayim Chayim O'Kelly, and he should place on it living water into a keli. But the Gemara explains that it's actually the other way around. First you have to pour the water into the keli, then you sprinkle the ashes into the water on top of that. But again, it has to be Kadesh Yiro, up in our mind. You don't need a lot of ashes, but you do need enough for it to be visible on the surface. And the third one is Veroit Yivam. The third one is when the Yavama spits by the Chalitza, and part of the process is that she spits in front of the Yavam, so it has to be enough spit to be visible to the Dayanim. the Shulman of Ishmael, Omer, Ach Dam Sipper, they said in the name of Rabbi Ishmael, there's a fourth one as well, when a Matsurah, the first stage of a Matsurah's Tara, is the whole process with the two birds and the water and so forth, at the beginning of Parashas Matsurah, so when you shech the bird, when you shech the one bird, there has to be not too much water, so that the blood of the bird, which is after all a very small bird, is going to be visible in the water. So therefore, you have if I remember correctly, the amount of water was a revius, and that way you have no problem, you'll be able to see the blood in it. Okay. Further on, after the Gemara deals with various other dinim about the soita, so the Gemara says, Dorash Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva gave the following Dorasha. Ish v'isha shezohu, if a man and woman are zoicha, and they have, Rashi describes, they go in the right path. He's not a noyef, she's not a noyefes. More generally, other Mephoshim talk about that. It also means that they have shalom bias between them. Eyun Yaakov points that out. So then, shchina b'nehem. The shchina is between them because we see that the letters of yud and hey that relate to the shchina are divided up. The yud in the word ish and the hey in the word isha. So if they live together properly, then they have the shchina between them. The yud and the hey come together. Loy zochu, and if they're not zoicha, eish echlotan, then fire will consume them, because then Hashem takes away the yud and the hay, and what you have left is eish and eish, and fire, and they end up consuming one another. Within the fire of machloikas and the fire of whatever else. Omar Rava, the isha difa min ish. Rava points out the ish, the fire of the woman is actually stronger than that of the man. Meaning it's stronger. It has its effects faster. It has its destructive effects faster than that of the man. My time, high matzrif, high lay matzrif. Because we see in the word isha, the letters aleph and shin are right next to one another. After that, you have the hay. Whereas by the man, you have the yud. Separates between the aleph and the shin. So therefore, like so to speak, the man's fire is not as intense as the woman's. One point of that is, the Gemara mentions at the beginning of the Masechta that when a woman is mizano, when she's angry, then that destroys the household much more so than if the man does. Rashi explained over there because then when she's mizano, she's angry, she neglects things around the house, and there's various other points in it why exactly that is. B'chol Chazal often compare the woman to the house, bases to ishtar and other examples like that. So in the same way, we're saying over here, her ish has a much more destructive an immediate effect than the man's. And it also means, on the other hand, that when the Aish is being used properly, then her Aish is much more, her Aish of Kedusha is much more intense than the man's. So high matzuf, high lay matzuf, because the one is together and the one is not. There's a lot of interesting points in that regard. The Kli Yoker on Parshas Noach brings a long, interesting explanation. Before the Mabul, one of the big problems, Kehishas Kalbasser, is that the whole relationship between what men and women should be had completely broken down, as we know from the Psukim and from Rashi and all over there. So therefore, we find a number of things in connection with the Mabul where the number 15, Yud and Hay, comes in. The water was 15 amas above the ground, and the Mabul was, the water level was 15 amas above the ground, and the various measurements of the teva are all in multiples of 50. And the number of days that the rain fell was 15 times 10, 150, the number it fell, the number that the water was churning was 150 days, 15 times 10, and so on and so forth. He goes in Arichus over there to explain that. And you have a lot of other points in that, a lot of other places in Jewish life where the number 15 comes up, and that's in token of this point that Yud and Hey are the name of Hashem, and they're Ishvi Isha Shchina Beinehem. Among other things, there are 15 words in Birkas Koyim as well. A point of it is also, there's also made the point, the Yud Nivra Olam Abad, the Hey Nivra Olam Azeh, so therefore it means when an Ish and Isha are Zoicha, then it means they bring Olam Azeh and Olam Abad together. Alright, the Gemara continues. Omar Rava, Mipnei Ma Omra Torah Hove Offer the Soita. Why did the Torah tell us to bring dust for the Soita? Part of the question is, in other words, why would dust be something worthy to be brought for a mitzvah like that? So first of all, the reason is Shem Zochsa having on Bonim Kavramavinu. One reason is because if she's Zoicha, she'll have children of the caliber of Avramavinu. Avramavinu says that himself. I am dust and ashes. He was a tremendous honor. So if she is Zoicha, So if she is zoicha, if she is actually innocent and did not do what her husband is accusing her of, then she'll end, and her marriage will stay together because she'll survive the whole sota process. Then she will end up, when we say that when the pasuk says v'niksa v'nizra azara, that she'll actually she'll be cleansed and she'll be cleansed and she'll have children. So that means not just stam any children, she'll have children. We're saying of the caliber of Avraham Avinu. And if she's not Zoicha, then she's going to end up returning to dust. So the dust is meant to show her, like, you have your choice in front of you now. And it's meant, okay, for her, it's already Lachra Maisa. She can't go back on what she did already. At least she can confess, and then at least in the future, she could survive the whole ordeal and marry somebody else, and do tshuva and marry somebody else. But it's also, we learned in the first parak, other women are supposed to, any women who are present are supposed to watch what's going on, so they'll also see and they'll take a lesson from it that each person has the two paths in front of them. Am I going to become like the dust, or am I going to have children like Avraham Avinu? So the Gemara goes on, Dorashrova, Bishar Sha'omer Avraham Avinu Varnoshi of Avraifer, in the schus of Avraham saying this expression, that I am dust and ashes, Zochu Bonner of the Shtei Mitzvahs. In the schus of that, his children, in the schus of that, his children were Zochu the two mitzvahs. La'efer Porer V'la'afar Soita. So because he said Onoshi Ofer, then we have Afar Soita. Because he said Efer, then we have Efer Parah. Now, Marsha refers over here to an explanation that he gives in Masech Techolin, where this Gemara is also brought in connection with Kisei. The Gemara mentions also Kisei Adam is also a mitzvah done with dust. But the Marsha points out, so what is the Gemara saying? And if Avraham hadn't said Onoshi Ofer V'Efer, we wouldn't have these things. And he answers, sure, we'd have those mitzvahs. But for example, as far as Tara from Tumas Nes, you'd have to go and find something odd and exceptional and something in order to be Tohar from Tumas Nes. Like this, the Eibishlik gives you something which is relatively common, ashes from a paradruma, which, okay, the paradruma itself is not so easy to come by, but once you've done it, then the ashes are available for a long time, so it's not like you have to spend a lot of money or something to become Tohar from Tumas Nes. And similarly with Afar Soita, the Ebishter could have just said, we have a suspicion that a woman is Mizana, that's it, she's off limits to her husband, and that's that. Instead, the Ebishter gave a way for her to be exonerated and reunite with her husband. There's a sikha, actually, where the Rebbe talks about in Chelek Chofei, that the that these two mitzvahs, when Avraham is saying Vanuchi off of Efer and was saying that what does it mean? In other words, that he's Avraham is the ultimate midas chesed, and he's saying on himself that his chesed is only off of Efer relative to the midas chesed of the Eibishter, as it talks about in Tanya and Igeres HaKodesh. Now, the Rebbe points out there's two reasons a person might have a sense of chesed. One is because he feels himself higher than other people, and he wants to give to them. He knows he has what to give them, and he gives to them. And the other reason would be because Fakert, he realizes that he's very low, and therefore he realizes that everybody, that other people are more deserving than him. Avraham was that second way. So his Varnoshi off of Efer is a sense of vittul. Therefore, the Eibishter, the two mitzvahs that the Eibishter gives is, so to speak, he's saying, these are examples where also, in the case of Efer Parah, is the Kohen is setting his own agenda aside. A Kohen wants to always remain Tahar. Instead, he's going and willingly making himself Tomei in order to be Matahar, a fellow Yid. And in the case of Afar Soita, is actually the Eibishter himself, so to speak, condescending and saying, you know, I'm willing to have my own Shem Shenichta B'Kedusha to be erased in order to reunite this woman with her husband, and so therefore those are the appropriate rewards, Midah K'neged Midah, for Avraham's type of, for the type of chesed that Avraham exemplified the same Vanoshi off of Eifer. There is a different sikha also where the Rebbe talks about this in connection with Bilam's brachas when he says Mimona Afar Yaakov, and Rashi points out there are any number of mitzvahs that the Jewish people do with offer and afer. The point is, in other words, that the offer and the afer are an actual part of the mitzvah itself. Okay, so the Gemara asks the third one. Vorikanami Afar Kisi Adam. What about the mitzvah of using dust to cover to do Kisi Adam? The answer is Hosam Hechsha Mitzvah Ika Hanal Leka. The answer is there you're doing it, you're accomplishing a mitzvah for it. But after all, mitzvah's live lahonas nitnu. But here you have Hanal Leka, you don't really have a Hanal from it. But here all you have is there's the schar for the mitzvah. But here you have there's a direct Hanal. And Rashi explains, with the soita, it makes shalom between her and her husband, and it prevents them from being mamzerim among the Jewish people, because anybody knows they're mezana, then they could get in trouble, they could end up being in the situation of a soita. So therefore, that dissuades people from doing this kind of thing in the first place. more to the point, also actually Rashi says, if she is found guilty, then she's going to blow up and die, and therefore no more mamzerim will come from her. And then fakert, then fakert. If she does survive it, nixav in Israel Zara, then on the contrary, everybody realizes that there's no chash about her children. Everybody realizes that she really is good, and there's no chash of mamzerus on her children. So therefore, there's a...
Right? What? If she confesses, she gets killed.
No, if she confesses, she's not killed. It actually points out earlier in the Masechta, there was no hasra. There was no warning to her. There was a warning to her, don't be secluded with this guy. But there was no... No, if she passes, then obviously she passes. The nixav in Israel Zara. We're talking about if she confesses, if she at some point during the thing says, you know what, I'm guilty. I was mezana with this guy. No, there's no misa because there was no hasra. Nobody warned her when she was alone with this guy. Don't commit adultery with him. And if you do, you're going to be chayav misa. If there was, then she would be. But if there was, then there's no procedure of the sota anyhow, because for the procedure of the sota, there has to be edim of the sphira, but not of the actual truma. Yeah. Anyway, so that's as far as that, and as far as eifa para, the hanah is that this way we have a way to become tahor from the trumas mes. So therefore, so that's why we're singling out those two and saying Hashem gave Abraham a reward for those for saying Vanoshi of Aver. It's true, there was also Kisi Adam, but that's a different kind of thing because, you know, we get such a direct Hanah from it. Okay? Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola. Of Gimel here. We have the pasuk v'ashiva sheftayich k'varishona v'yatzayich k'vatchila, and the nusach that we have in Shemoneh Esrei v'ashiva sheftayim k'varishona v'yatzayich k'vatchila is based on that. So in a sicha, the last sicha of shoftim from Nun Aleph, the Rebbe talked about that. What's the purpose of shoftim and shoftim? Like that, you have shoftim v'shoftim chitin l'chol b'chol sharecha. The job is the shoftim are the judges; they're the ones who actually pass from the halacha, and then the shoftim are the executive arm of the shoftim. If the shofet can't actually make the thing happen with poil, then you need the shoftim who will beat the guy if necessary and do whatever it takes to force the guy to actually do what he has to do. But by the Gola, it says Varshiva Shevtayach Kvarishona. It doesn't say Vashetrayach Kvatchila, it's Vyatzayach Kvatchila. Why is that? Because Lassid Lover, there won't be a Ra, there won't be Yetahara. So you won't need Shoturim to force the people to do what the Shoftim say. Everybody themselves will do it. All you need is Yoyatzim to advise what the Psach Halacha should be. Continuing on Halachas of Yom Tov. More halachas about making fire on Yom Tov. You can't use a bellows to, like you do sometimes to make a fire larger. However, the Alter Rebbe says you could use a tube to blow on the flame. The Olam is noyeg with certain kinds of bellows. You do a shinui, then you could. In practice, when we have gas stoves and electric stoves or whatever, there are other issues involved with them. Moving on then to halachas of burr, you are allowed to do burr on food, for example, beans, what you need for that day, but you have to do it by hand, not with a sieve or whatever. Or, for example, you might want to put them into water and the shells and whatnot will float to the top. You can't do that. You do burr. Now, unlike on Shabbos, where you have to be burr oichel mitech psoilas, on Yom Tov, it's not so. You could be burr psoilas mitech oichel if that's easier for you. Now, the Alter Rebbe adds that if you could have done this on Erev Yom Tov, then you can't do it, then you can't do Psoilus Metech Oichel, and really even then Oichel Metech Psoilus would only be what you could use for that day, for right away, meaning, in other words, that basically then if you could have done Burr before Yom Tov, the Alter Rebbe is saying, then we treat it exactly like Shabbos, and therefore you have the same restrictions as on Shabbos, what you can do as far as Burr. But here, if you couldn't have done the Burr before Yom Tov, then yes, you can do it on Yom Tov in whichever way is more convenient, as long as you're doing it by hand.
Sure, cool.